of you, and hope you're having a great summer, and ask you to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I'd like to ask for a moment of silence for those lost in El Paso and Dayton, and also to say how we are thinking about all of the injured, their families, and their community. Thank you. Board announcements. Ginger?
Yeah, very often we talk about our students who are exceptional and we praise everything that they've done and we celebrate while they're here, their achievements. And I'd like to talk about a very special student who's a special ed student and then became an aide in our school district, Ellen Norris, who passed away a week ago. I was fortunate that my daughter was at Parkway for the first class of Down syndrome children that came into the district, and how they assimilated, and how we saw them grow and participate in every single thing. They were in concerts, they went on trips, and their parents fought tooth and nail to change our special ed program to become more inclusive, to understand the needs of each and every one of our children. And as Ellen grew and the rest of the class, and they graduated, and I think the day that they graduated, they got a standing ovation from the high school students appreciating everything that they did. They were never different than anybody else. They participated. They let you know their needs. And our special needs program, our special ed program, began to evolve in a very different direction, of which I was thrilled to be a part of. Unfortunately, Ellen passed away. But as an aide in the school district, if you walked in as a board member, superintendent, and you didn't sign in, she called you over and she read you the Riot Act about your responsibilities and that you had to sign in. She confused sometimes that she would be a principal or maybe the teachers, but she always asked everybody, do you need any extra help? Do you need me for anything? Ellen loved with a passion. She knew those of us that she grew up with, and she would hug you and always tell you she loved you. 2 years ago, Congressman Steve Israel was touring, Stratford Road. And when we were coming down, Ellen, being the hall monitor, was right there, and she said, excuse me, Mr. Congressman, excuse me. And she said she would like a picture with him because she knew how much her parents loved him and appreciated what he did. To the very end, Ellen was the epitome of a success story. She was a child that could have been put aside and nobody would know. She earned a living. She participated. She let me know every year that she voted. Mm-hmm. Things were very, very important to her. And I would just like to say that when we talk about outstanding or super kids, this is something that we should be so very proud of, because she did what many children couldn't do. And her success story, the love of her family, the changing of our special ed program to understand the needs of children who at that time were different, and to be accepted at the funeral, there were so many, our staff, our special ed staff. Gail Weinstein, the former principal, drove down that morning to make sure she could be at the funeral. So many of the children that were in her, children, they're in their 40s, but they all came to the funeral to say their final goodbyes to her. And I think that she just made our district a much stronger place to be. And the sad part was her father had passed away 15 weeks before she did. So for Ellen, I just want to say kudos, kid. We'll always remember you.
Other new business? I kind of, Ginger said it all, so I don't need to say anything about that. All of our lives were enriched because of Ellen. Some of us also visited the summer special ed program this summer. As always, we saw students engaged with their teachers and their aides, and it was just a great, great couple of hours. I'd like to thank Neil Lasher and the staff and Dolores Espinoza for running a really great program and one that we are very proud of. Superintendent announcements.
Yes, so this summer, although we broke in June, this summer it has been filled with staff just getting ready for the opening of school. So we've had, we ended in June with technology boot camp, where many of our staff members came to enhance their technology skills. Early July, we had several staff members from the secondary program in English and Social Studies attend the news literacy program at Stony Brook to get to write curriculum and to write modules for their coursework to integrate this really important aspect of learning, is understanding how to decipher news and to determine whether we have fake news or real news, determine fact from fiction. We've moved, as they said, when they opened the program, from one burg to another burg. We started with the Gutenberg in the old days, where we had the printing press, where really the printing press was created for the reason of printing Bibles, because at the time they had to write, the monks had to write a Bible, and the Bible would take years to do. And the Gutenberg he created the press to do that. And now we have the year of Facebook. And between those two, where you had the printing press and Facebook, a lot has changed. The way we interpret news and get news. And we are incorporating all of that in our English and Social Studies. So many of our teachers went to do that. This morning, I walked into a room that was, the energy in the room was amazing. 85 teachers came in for training. For the K-5 teachers came in for our TC workshop. That means that they're beginning school, ready to go, ready to open up, not having to be pulled out of classes to be trained. So that was really deep work. We also had teachers working on the special education for ICT partners. We had that training already. So this has been a turning point in the district where working together with the PCT, I'm sorry that Nina is not here, because it's been really something that we've been asking to do, but we've never been able to really move forward to have teachers do the work over the summer. And I was just saying that I have to thank the PCT. I didn't just say it because you walked in. I said it before. We have to thank them for this partnership, because it really matters. It reduces the pullouts from our, and it also helps the teachers, because they can earn their necessary credits over the summer. And for people who have children, they don't have to, you know, because teachers are required to do a certain number of hours. So I want to thank the PCT for their partnership, and I really was, you had to have seen this room. It was lit up with teachers excited about digging deeper into literacy. So I'm very, very grateful that we're starting out the year that way. And to just add to what Ginger said about Ellen Norris, I think Ellen taught us all how to give more than 100%. You walked into Stratford Road, and it didn't matter who you were, she would take you on. And she would say, I need to send a message to Ginger Lieberman. Can you take that message? to her. Or, in fact, at PARP, she saw Jody and she said to Jody, I know you're on the board, but I need to get a message to Ronell. She was so involved, and anything that she could do, she did. And for her, I described it as the widow's mite. This is what she could do, and she gave her 150%. So in my letter, welcome back letter to staff, I asked that we name this year the year of Ellen Norris, where we actually give what we can with all our might to do the best we can to change our little corner of the world, because that's what Ellen did. So.
Thank you. We're now going to go on to reports and discussions. The RTI plan.
I'll ask Dr. O'Mara to do that.
So good.
Is this because of the RTI?
Yes. It's nothing to cry about, I promise.
Very good.
So good evening, all. I'm reporting on one of the board's goals from this past year related to the district's RTI plan. Just for those of you who may not know, RTI stands for Response to Intervention. It's a school-wide, multi-tiered prevention framework that provides supplemental needs-specific interventions to students with learning problems, specifically in the areas of reading. New York State Ed has established a regulatory policy framework for RTI, and all districts were required to create and implement a plan by 2012. In 2009, POB did convene a committee to create an RTI plan, and during the 2010 school year, the staff development around this new concept occurred, preparing for the NYSED regulations that required the districts to have an operational plan by 2012 that included the required components. Since that time, new programs, new assessments, and staff have come to POB, necessitating another look at our RTI plan and its implementation across the four elementary buildings. It became clear that we really did need to revise it because of the aforementioned factors of change that occurred since 2009. Because we wanted to make sure that all the students were instructed with a high-quality literacy program, that they were assessed and monitored, and received appropriate interventions when reading problems arose. Our committee consisted of all these stakeholders: classroom teachers, special education teachers, reading specialists, principals and APs, literacy chairperson Eileen Anino, and myself. We met several times during the year, and it was an opportunity to develop this staff with the necessary information about literacy acquisition and appropriate interventions, and then they went back and turned to key that in their buildings with the help of the principals, allowing morning time to do those presentations to them. Without a plan, it's impossible to determine if a student's reading difficulties are a result of our curriculum, the instruction, or him or herself. Our committee created a plan that kept two main goals of RTI in mind and met the requirements set forth by the Department of Education. Our committee met several times throughout the year, and like I said, they reported those discussions back to their buildings. The two main goals of RTI is to prevent academic problems before they become insurmountable, and also to determine students with learning disabilities. We assess students three times a year during the trimesters and apply strategic interventions along the way. But it guarantees that every single student's reading is looked at three times a year. NYSED said that a district's role in creating a plan has to provide a structure and the components along with what New York State required. The charge of our POB committee was to assure we created a plan that provided buildings with a structure that was manageable and components that assured accuracy and equity among the buildings. Every building didn't get its own plan. We have a district-wide plan now. The first requirement of an RTI plan is that you name a core literacy program that's scientific and research-based, and what we call in the reading world, address the big five: phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary acquisition, fluency, and reading comprehension strategies. Our balanced literacy approach with the use of the phonics program foundations addresses these big five. And it's important to note that any core literacy program should address 85%, 80 to 85% of the population, that they should just respond to that without any further need of intervention. If we have less than 80% of our students responding to the core literacy program, we know we have to look at the program, not at a teacher and not at the student. The second requirement of the RTI plan is selecting a universal screener. What happened? There you go. Fortunately, our committee had several assessment tools from which to choose for our universal screener. It was important to select one for K-4 students with clearly defined benchmark cut scores. Our current state was each building used Fontes and Pinnell, but they had no cut score to look at across the district. So this assures now that all students who miss a benchmark goal are closely considered, monitored, or provided additional support. The cut scores are located at the bottom of page 6 of our RTI plan. We now have a document that lets teachers and parents know the intended outcome of the reading instruction each trimester. The final requirement by New York State for the RTI program is a tiered intervention system that begins at the classroom level and moves up in duration and intensity. Our plan provides a structure for these tiered interventions, replete with who is responsible for administering them, what interventions can be used, where it occurs, how often, and most importantly, for how long. Once a student is in a Tier 3 intervention for at least 3 months, conversations about possible learning disabilities and/or a referral to special education occur. This last point is so critical because it prevents those lifetime sentences in remedial reading, and the structure of our plan is located on page 5. Just to let you know a little bit about the process that resulted in this plan, it was open for comment once it was drafted to all teachers and elementary administrators. A final version was reviewed with the principals, literacy chairperson, special education administration, and reading teachers. We used the benchmark criteria in the spring of this year to determine which students would enter a tiered intervention this coming September, and more excitedly, which students could exit remedial reading in June. This permits now our reading teachers to start giving services right in September instead of wasting time and trying to figure out who should be in what group. And finally, the RTI plan gives us some systemic benefits, and you can see them all listed there. The same benchmark cut scores and one universal screener means that all students are measured with the same tool and are aiming for the same common target. Again, they're on page 6. But these are all the benefits that will come with us all following this one plan as opposed to individual buildings doing their own. You have a copy of our plan, and after this evening, if you're okay with it, it will be posted on the district website as is required. That's all.
Thank you. Any questions?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
I love the fact that we have now an exit plan to reading,
mm-hmm.
and that it doesn't matter which building a student may be in, that it all the buildings will have the same screener and evaluation tools. So thank you very much, and thank you to the committee and to the teacher partnership. Thanks.
Okay, next we're going to go on to safety plan.
So this is a new requirement. The procedure, we've always had a safety plan, but the requirements are pretty stringent from the state. In fact, if you saw the latest version of On Board, you noticed that the state audited 17 districts or 18 districts, and only one had a safety plan that had actually gone through the steps that were required, and I dare to say that ours followed all of those. So we would have, had they audited us, they would have found that we followed the procedures. So I'm very happy that Mr. Donnarumma is at the helm of this, and he will present it.
Before we roll into the presentation, I just want to take a minute and go back to the forum that was hosted here on Tuesday, July 16th, in response to the event that happened at Hay Path Park. On July 6th, we partnered with the town of Oyster Bay and Joe Saladino and also County Legislator Arnie Drucker, and invited the community to talk about the event and listen to what they had to say. And some people asked, well, why would the school district partner with the county and the town for an event that didn't happen on school district grounds? And I think what you'll see in this presentation is that the plan and what we expect in terms of seeing things, see something, say something, and the ways we've implemented that, the way we have listened to our students, our faculty, and our community members are really woven throughout our plan. And it just was the right thing for us to do because we are a very large portion of this community. Somehow the school district touches everybody. Our kids and our residents all live within the schools. So we think it was a good partnership, and I think it reaped benefits. And I think law enforcement, who came to visit us, was very impressed with the operation we have here, and it helped build that partnership further.
It did. Just before I begin, I just want to acknowledge it is honestly so nice to work in a place that acknowledges Ellen Norris, everything you guys talk about, what you stand for as a board. I am so happy to work for this district. So I couldn't let that go without honestly saying that before I started my presentation, but it's really special to watch everything that happens here. So back to some stuff about safety plans. What I want to do is I want to spend about 5 minutes and just talk to you about the differences between the district safety plan and also the building safety plans. So if I could, I'm just going to take a little bit of time to educate, answer all questions that I possibly could. So really what I, you know, when we started to get into the conversation over the past 3 years, really getting deep into what district safety plans are, what our procedures are, we got some feedback. Why would you share this with the community, a district safety plan? It's actually a regulation by the state that we have to put together a district safety plan. But when I want you to start to think about this stuff, think about the district safety plan as just general protocols, general information, general things that lead our discussion and lead our work within the buildings where we have confidential conversations and plans put together. So district safety plans came together after Columbine in 1999. You had Project Save that came out in year 2000. Since then, and you think about that, it's almost 20 years, you still have all this work and focus in this area that is still continuing. But really, it's very simple. This plan is supposed to help to form making things safer in schools for students and staff. That's really the essence of this plan. How can you do the best for students and for staff? What's unique about the district-wide safety plan compared to the building-level safety plan is the district-wide safety plan is actually a requirement to have community input. So you want people to read it, you want people to be involved, to ask questions, and you really want a plan that everyone can stand behind. But overall, really, we're trying to do reduction in the area of risk, prevention, what would our response be in case of an emergency, and then after that, the recovery, how to get things back to normal. This plan is open to the public. It was posted on our district website on August 2nd, and we're in that 30-day comment period currently. When you talk about and you try to look at the plan, and it's many different pages that are in there and a lot of information, but there are important pieces that you are taking action on at the next board meeting approving this plan. One, you're responsible as a district and as a board to appoint someone as the chief emergency officer. That would be myself under the direction of Dr. Lewis. You're also designating a district-wide school safety team, and our team has grown over the years, and I'm looking to expand that team in the current year, as well as our meeting dates that will be put on the district calendar. But really, you got to think about it as what you're approving is general emergency plans regarding cancellations, early dismissal, evacuation, general protocols, and then the demographics about the school. So who the important folks are to contact in case of an emergency, all of those things are in there. And obviously, it's focusing in on prevention and intervention strategies that you can work with local law enforcement to reduce any of the things that may come your way. So that's really what's in the safety plan. The team I'm going to talk about for a second, because I really feel like in the 3 years, this district has been so fortunate to put resources behind action. And a lot of the big ticket items that we've talked about, say something, that's not done in isolation in my office. That's done through our district safety team, talking about it, working it through with teachers, with parents, with students, et cetera, administrators. Can it work? How would it work? Even our current system that we're implementing, the Salto lock system on every classroom door. That's not an easy task to go about, and the first thing you want to do is if you take a look at all the different factors in there, What could be your concern? What could be your reason for wanting to do this? So I'm really proud of the work that the safety team has done. There's a lot of dedicated parents, administrators, principals that have really come to the table and spend between sometimes an hour to 2 hours on an afternoon, well after school ends, just to talk about the topic of safety. Really, when you look at the responsibilities, what we're responsible for, our overall goal as a district safety team is to make sure that we ensure the safest environment in the district. It's nothing more complicated than that. But we really, and I took highlights from the plan, we want to recommend programs for staff and students to reduce any possible event. And I really take a look at that as a Say Something program. When we brought that here, we wanted to get information directly from the hands of students and staff and parents, things they're concerned about. So really that is something that's important. To arrange for security analysis of our buildings. And if you think about that, a year ago we had Homeland Security here, every one of our buildings providing audits for things that they feel like are necessary with improvements. And I'm not going to name where those things are, but you see that when you go through the district. I can look at a fence, I can look at a sign, I can look at things that they said you really need to address something like that. What we haven't done a great deal of work on that I really want to focus our work this year is climate surveys. Try to get information and do a survey to see what areas they feel like we're not doing such a good job at or what areas we may be exposed on. So that's stuff I want to work with the committee this year and obviously take a look at those results and make some action plans for possible changes. One of the other focuses that we're going to look at this year is we have some data. We have some years where we have systems in place now. We have our RAVE system. We have the Say Something system where we had many different anonymous reports. Are there trends? Are there areas of concern? Let's look at that in more detail without disclosing confidential stuff, but to look at that. That's the district plan, overall guidance. What's very different is the building level ERT team plans, the building level safety plans. Those are completely confidential. Those are things that you would not share with the general public. That would be the nuts and bolts of what you would do, who would be in charge if an actual event would happen. That's the stuff that remains confidential. That is at the local control of the building principal to set up that plan. Their team, their ERT team, is comprised of just almost the same constituents. You have administrators, parents, you have school safety personnel, community members. The more people you can get to the table to say, does this plan work, the better plan in the end that you're going to have. And then within that plan, the two areas that they have control over is the emergency response team, who would step up in the event of an emergency, so who those folks would be and what their roles would be, and then the post-incident response team. If you, God forbid, had an emergency, who would help that building get back to the state that they were at before the event? Who's the support team? Again, those plans are confidential, unlike the district safety plan. Really, the last slide I want to take a look at, just to put side by side the differences between the plans. The plans, if it's district, it's the district team. If it's the building, it's the building ERT team that is building that plan. The district plan is general. The building plan is very specific, who would do what, etc. One plan, the district plan, is made available to the community. Building plans are never made available to the community. One has a 30-day comment period. The building plans do not have that. So you can see the differences there. But at the end of the day, the district safety plan I will put on for the next board meeting for you guys to possibly approve that plan with any comments we get from the community. At the end of the day, on October 15th, all of our plans, just like in past years, they get put in a portal to the state. They get communicated to Nassau County. They get communicated to any other state organizations that's willing to accept them and review them. But I will say the most important thing that we've got out of this process is I think we have built a great relationship with the Nassau County Police Department. And I think out of any committee that I've sat on so far, that to me, they come to the table with guidance, with suggestions. And I know that if there's an event, I'm going to be getting information directly from them to my phone, which is extremely helpful. So with that, if there's any questions or concerns or anything about the plans, Ginger?
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just think that you did a phenomenal job doing this. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
And one was, I don't believe across the country the opening of schools is going to be the same anyplace anymore. And my question is, and I don't know if in our community we have people, but what would happen if there was a raid to a child who there is no one to go home to, there are no relatives, are we going to have a plan in place to help make sure that our children are taken care of?
Are we talking about if there was an event, a reunification plan, or are we just saying the
I'm
first
I'm just saying if parents are taken away because they're not citizens.
Gotcha. So I know working here that the focus of everyone's work as an administrative staff member is to care for kids. I don't know of a specific plan that I have written out which would address that, but I will talk about that and bring that up, and I know that we will be doing the right thing. When something comes to us, we make sure that that kid is in the right hands before we leave for the day. That is without question, and my 10 years working here, I don't need a plan to say that, but I can certainly talk about it and build that through.
I think so, and I think that some kids are going to be entering in under a lot of stress because it's just not normal. It's not the fire drill anymore.
Correct.
It's that they're talking about a shooting. They're talking about where they have to go. They have a lot on their plate, and they're scared because something is happening all the time, and you can't get them away from it. It's a 24/7 type of thing. That was my first thing. And my second one was that we've done a phenomenal job building a command center.
Yep.
In which we have all the screens, and we can see all the schools. But when we were in it the other day, you were talking that it's not manned during the day. Am I correct?
Currently, it is not.
If I were a person in a building and sitting at that front desk and somebody came in and they were armed, I could tell you I probably would have a heart attack and could do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can hire professionals or a professional to monitor that who could make the responses like that, to know what to look for, to look when somebody's walking in. Is there a shadow behind them? Is there somebody following somebody in? Is somebody trying to push their way in?
Yep.
And I would like to see if it is possible this year to have that center manned. It's like not yet completed.
So definitely I agree with you, and I remember that conversation a couple weeks ago. But we've taken a look internally at our staff that was approved, and I'm looking to reallocate staff to see that on the beginning of school, opening a school, between the normal hours when kids are in buildings and staff, that I can get that coverage to the nighttime folks that get there. And you're right. What if something happens? I see that strength of that command center right there as another set of eyes to assist with the building that is in crisis. The building in crisis may not be able to do what they need to do on the spot, on the fly. But that can do that same function. So I agree with that 100%.
Would it be possible to have it manned all year? Yeah. Just not
we
the beginning because the cost and everything else. But sometimes we can't be penny wise and pound foolish. This is, to me, we've invested all this money, all this training, a phenomenal plan. But I would like to ensure that there's somebody with that extra set of eyes who's not going to lose their cool or become petrified or maybe be shot or injured in some way.
Removed from the situation. So, yes, we can explore that. On the nighttime side, you have that man 365 days a year, regardless of day of the week or whatever it may be. I would look to implement and then advise as to the direction, whether it would be worth it to do 365. But for sure, start a school. I would look at that and then bring back some feedback and cost to you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And could you also look for the cost for the year as opposed to just the start?
100%.
One day is no different in the mind of a shooter.
No doubt.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
So I see some puzzling faces in the audience about the command center. We'll definitely be showing it to the public at some point, certainly the PTAs. We'll fold that into our PTA council meeting. Have you visited? But we had the commissioner of police here to see it. It's a room, as we've talked about, built into the budget, where all cameras in the district are monitored so that if something is happening in a building, we would be able to pick that up in central office. So it's the new world. It is where we are.
Unfortunately,
I had friends who were this week on Broadway, going to a play when that backfired, and I have to tell you, it's Joan, and the person is just absolutely shattered from a backfiring of everybody panicked because this is where we are now, and we're living in a world where we have to take our obligations much more seriously, and I'm so grateful to the board for supporting that.
Anybody else have any questions? Chris, thanks so much, and thank your staff and your committee.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you very much.
Okay, next we're going to go to Fern Place.
What is he looking at?
Oh. Okay, you. Well, yeah, you know.
Okay, so this is a follow-up on the Fern Place form, and this is the presentation we showed on that day, and that was discussed. I'll run through it quickly, just to refresh everybody's memory. ACDS has notified the district that they do not want to renew the lease and have made a proposal to purchase Fern Place from the district. The district last used Fern Place School for public students in June of 1974. And it's our smallest district facility. It sits on about 8.5 acres of property. After the building was closed in 1975, it was temporarily boarded up. Then BOCES leased the building for 12 years from 1977 to 1999. And reading through board minutes recently, the operation that Nassau BOCES had was actually a bit larger. They had more staff and more students in Fern than the current tenant. Current tenant, ACDS, has been there since 1999, so for 20 years. In evaluating the ongoing expenses, that would be the annual expenses plus the maintenance costs for boilers, roofs, windows, ceiling, lighting, plumbing, etc., we know that the annual expense is not completely offset by the annual revenue, and there is actually a deficit there. So the revenue does not offset the annual expenses of maintenance and building preservation. Since 1999, about the time that ACDS took occupancy of the building, district enrollment has stayed just about steady. We have had small fluctuations like we're experiencing now, but the enrollment has stayed steady, and we have not used that building, Fern Place, nor have we used Jamaica during that time. Between 74 and 78, Plainview Old Bethpage closed five schools, four of which have been sold by the district already. Jamaica Avenue was closed in 1993 and is presently being leased to three different tenants, and we also do have some district operations in that building. So the Board of Education discussed potential conditions of sale at the last meeting, including restrictive covenants that would run with the land. That means they're perpetual, who, no matter who the future owner is, that the district would retain ownership of the fields. I show this in two maps, where the proposed sale would be the blue section, which is the building and the parking lot, and the district would hold on to the green area, which are the fields to the north that have the baseball field, the Challenger baseball field, that's used by soccer also, and also a small section of land right near Fern Place that we call the Pasadena Square. It actually is being used by Pasadena as part of their field now. So the district would hold on to the green area. ACDS has engaged a real estate broker and has made an offer and has told the district they do not intend to renew the lease. And the district engaged legal counsel regarding the potential sale. And with that, I guess we go with a discussion.
Susan? thank you very much for the presentation and for re-presenting it again. I know I've been listening to the community now for quite a while, and I just, for me, as far as I was thinking about this, I've been in the district for a very long time. People do know that I started kindergarten in the district and graduated. So I never remember Fern Place ever being a school building that was occupied by general ed students. So it's been there. It's always been there. There's been occupied on and off for different reasons. I know as a board we've listened to the families both in the immediate vicinity and also in our overall community when we started talking about zoning. It's quite very obvious and evident that our district has no appetite for any hard zoning. So when we see those spot expansions on Old Bethpage and Parkway and Pasadena. It's in response to the greater community at large wanting to keep their students in the schools that are in their communities at the elementary school level. And I think that's something we've worked as a partnership. ACDS is providing a very special need, and they've been good tenants. They pay on time. They've been part of. There are some things I wish they would do for the immediate neighbors by listening to some of the complaints that have been posed. And, you know, if there's some law enforcement matters, then I think that should be taken up by the law enforcement, the Nassau County Police. So I just want to say that, you know, this is something I think would be beneficial to our district. It would be beneficial for multiple parties in the conversation. So that's all I really wanted to say to the rest of my board members.
I'm not going to go through the extensive thoughts that I had the last time. I laid out what I felt were all of the various different options. We've been talking about this for quite a while. We've heard from community members, public participation, emails. People have approached us all, I'm sure, personally at different times. The issues that are raised and that were raised last time, like whether we would need the building, whether if we do need a building, which building is the best building to consider in comparison with Jamaica Avenue, both in terms of the size of the building, the land, the access and traffic, the cost comparison of updating it and upgrading it, whether to sell to somebody other than a school, the neighborly issues like a shrub barrier that we've engaged discussions about. The one thing I just want to add from last time is that we've considered those as part of our deliberative process. And at least from my standpoint, it appears to me that the best option is to sell if all of the restrictions, covenants are agreed to and the contract works out that way. It seems to be the, that there is certainly no appetite for something, for the other options that, we've laid out. And, I kind of want to put out there that we've heard all the feedback, we've considered it, it's been part of our deliberative process. And on balance, I still, believe that the best alternative, the best option is to sell.
Okay, that was our discussion. And we are going to go on to an air conditioning update. Thank you, Rich, by the way, for redoing the presentation.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes, this is one of my favorite presentations every year.
It's actually my favorite this year.
It does get a little better or a little more blue every year as we've gone through this now presentation for 4 years. We still have some areas of struggle. I'll run through things quickly. Some areas are easy to go through. So, for example, Judy Jacobs and Pasadena have 100% air conditioning coverage. Old Bethpage, we are still wrestling with a design plan to bring air conditioning into one room, a former locker room that is now used as an instrument storage room. I'll show you that on the map. Stratford Road Auditorium, we're expecting that project to be approved by SED either at the end of this month or very early September, and then we'll go out to bid. We'll discuss that. Matlin Middle School tech room, music room, and tech rooms and music rooms are on the same timeline as the Stratford Road Auditorium. We'll talk about Sea House air conditioning, where we're still slowly bringing classrooms online. Unfortunately, we're not 100% there. POB Middle School band room we'll talk about. and POB JFK High School air conditioning, which is the school where we have the least coverage, and we'll go through that school last. Judy Jacobs, easy to look at, nice and blue. Blue means cool when you want it to be. Judy Jacobs, Pasadena, same status, 100% air conditioned in instructional spaces. Old Bethpage, here we have the strange, this is supposed to be yellow up here, which appears green. This is the instrument storage room I talked about, where we can't simply put window units in because this is a former locker room with very small windows. It also, because it was a locker room, the only electrical in it were the lights, all right, so it's been retrofitted. So somehow we have to grab electricity and get it in there and also figure out how we're going to pump the water out. So we believe we're going to have that solution in place for this coming spring. These other areas that are pink, this is a former storage room. We don't have air conditioning in there. However, you'll see that if you look very closely, there are two doors here. The doors are simply swung open to cool this room. Additionally, we expect some of our instructional spaces. This is used as an instructional space right now. We expect instructional spaces to move to the new office spaces that are being built in the new wing. All right, so the occupancy of this should go down. It shouldn't occur at all, actually. This space right here, this L, was carved out of this classroom. This used to be all one classroom space, and walls were put up here, and they punched a window through the wall. This is a difficult area to air condition. We can't just put a window unit here because that's the emergency egress. So we can't just put an air conditioner there. There is some cooling. They put in some grates that cool it from this room. But we will, if this room is still going to be used for instruction, we eventually have to get there. Right now we don't have a plan. That would be another difficult room to cool. And this is another little former storage room, this little nook. No air conditioning in here. It does not get frequent use, though. So if they do occasionally use that room for testing and it's a hot day, they go someplace else. So Old Bethpage is almost there. Right? So summarizing for small group instructional locations without AC, all those four locations were repurposed from their original plan. Stratford Road, this big green blob, olive green blob, which is supposed to be yellow, means air conditioning pending. That's the auditorium and the stage. All other areas in the building, instructional spaces, have air conditioning. That's the second floor. The project is going to be approved very soon, within the next few weeks. However, one of the things that we're worried about with this particular project is the auditorium. It right now gets its heat from rooftop units. It's not running off the boilers, right? So the new unit is both going to be a heating unit and a cooling unit. And because of, perhaps you've read about this, the wrestling match that's going on about the natural gas pipeline, National Grid has put a moratorium on all new natural gas hookups. Even if it's just take a unit off and put a different type of unit in place. They're not doing any more residential hookups, and this is a problem. So the pressure's mounting to lift that moratorium. We then expect a bit of a backlog. I know I'm working with Ryan Ruff, who you know very well from his past here, where we've made a list of school district projects that we expect are going to be delayed because of this moratorium. To apply some political pressure to at least get Keyspan to pay attention to schools. In some cases, this has to do with, this is stopping boiler replacements in schools. We got our projects in earlier, before the moratorium, but there are school districts on Long Island that are supposed to replace their boilers that can't because they won't be able to get the gas to them. I'll keep you informed about that. POB Middle School, this is the 200 level. We have this little room 210 that we've talked about. We actually had a little, when we had a board meeting here, we actually met in that last year. Not air conditioned, but with the renovation of the library, in this case, the Z space is now located over here. We're going to be piping air into room 210. Not too sure it'll be there for September 1st, but it's in the works to get it there. The other instructional space, these are small office spaces over here, instrument, when a teacher gives lessons, they're here. Originally, they were designed as offices. These also have the small windows, so we can't clog them up with air conditioners. We have to find that that's a longer-range plan there. This is our rehearsal room that doesn't have air conditioning. We do have a solution. The thing we don't have is electricity. We do have an electrician coming to do a walkthrough to see if they can help us pull in some electricity from the stage area, the auditorium, because we did electrical work there. If we can get the electric enough power across the hall, a rooftop unit will be installed to cool that area. I didn't put that as pending yet because we can't do that until we have enough power. That's a pretty big space. But planning is active for that space. Third floor and the first floor are completely air conditioned. There's a missing room right here. This room, this is right now room 109 and 111. This wall has been moved already for the new school year. There's a new doorway into room 109. There now exists a room 110, and the air conditioner is going in there this week. So the new room will be cooled. Room 111 was already cooled. Right, so most of the building is air-conditioned. We have that one large instructional space that we're still in planning. Matlin, this is it's a tricky floor plan. We're calling this the first floor, but it's really the second floor. So the floor we're on, actually, you'd have to go upstairs to get to this floor. So all of the classrooms right above us are air-conditioned. And then this would be, if you think about it, the first floor of C House, there's one classroom, a science room, where we still have to get electricity to. If we went back and looked at this a year ago, this room did not have air conditioning, this room didn't have air conditioning, and there was a slice in here that didn't have air conditioning, and this room didn't have air conditioning, so we have made progress. D House is completely air conditioned. Going to the second floor, which if you think of C House and D House is actually the second story or the third floor. In C House, we still have rooms we have to get to, and we are having, really, it's an electrical. We don't have enough power over there. So right now, we're working with our architects at BBS to see if we can grab some power that's in the main office that would then have to go through a long run all the way to C House and then add sub panels. But we do have it as pending because right now we think we can have that in place for the spring. But that has been a barrier, getting enough power into C House to cool it. These rooms here are the ones that are about to be get SED approval. These will be cooled by very large units, and we expect to have that in place by the spring. So that project will take place during the winter. This one will not be held up by the National Grid issue because they're not heating units, just air conditioning. So summarizing, B&D, fully air conditioned. C House, we're making progress. We're not there yet. And the rest of A House should be cooled by the spring of 2020. All right, now the big ugly. The high school. I was kind of, as we put this presentation together, I wanted to make all the pink. This is supposed to be yellow, meaning pending. But I was not encouraged to do that by BBS and facilities. The reason why is the project, we had to have a project submitted to SED and is under approval right under review right now to add bring more power distribution through the building and add sub-panels, and then run from the sub-panels into each room. So the first step that we need is to have that electrical project approved by SED, and that could be, it's an electrical project up in SED, it could be the end of this month, it could be the end of October. We don't know. So we don't have a bid timeline to give, and unlike the AC projects where SED's literally telling us any day, they're not giving us feedback on this one, all right? So I don't have any date certainty on this. Then once we do that, we have to put it out to bid. And running all that electrical work is going to be somewhat intrusive, so we have to determine what we can do during the school year. If we can put it out to bid and do the work in such a way that we can do this work with a contractor at night, then we will start seeing air conditioning show up in these rooms for the spring. But if the work is too intrusive, then that would be a summertime job, and the air conditioning would be there in the fall. But that is the last big push, the original section of the high school. However, if you do by square footage, even though it looks like there's a lot of pink there, meaning no cooling, more than 80% of the building is actually cooled. All right, and once we get that project approval for the electrical work by SED, then I'll be able to come back with a timeline, date certain, and tell you how we're going to do this. And with that, do you have any questions?
So, kind of curious, I saw when I was looking at all the blues and pinks and mm-hmm. yellows. All the gyms in the elementary school, all the gyms in the elementary schools, including Stratford Road, which was a middle school at one time, are air-conditioned. POB Middle School, Matlin, and the high school's gym are not even planned. So my question...
Explain that process.
So, I mean, because of all the places you may want, especially as the kids get bigger mm-hmm. and expellier so, yeah. and exert more energy. yeah, exactly. And it's hot, and especially in the I know in the high school gym, it gets hot with the fans going. And I'm sure in the other buildings do too.
But we let the principals choose.
Why?
So we had a bond in 2014.
Yes.
And that bond was if we wanted to do it all, the community would not be able to support that. Decisions had to be made. So at the elementary school, each principal selected, it was a choice between the gym and the cafeteria, and they made the selections. So it would be desirable to continue to move a AC project along, but in the end, between 2014 and now, we have done far more than was in the bond, but mm-hmm. certainly have not been able to, the gym at both middle schools.
The elementary schools don't have everything, the cafeteria.
Correct.
The middle schools, okay.
Correct.
Matlin does not have air conditioning in the cafeteria.
Where they felt okay. it was best.
As in
and,
the library.
And for Matlin, Matlin had to make a choice also. Matlin had to make a choice, and they chose the auditorium. Oh, so the POB Middle School made the choice and chose the cafeteria. Because of the exposure of the sun. So it was recognizing that we would like to do both, but also the reality is we needed a bond that the community could support, and they did. And so I would say in the next phase, in the next 5 years, that would be a good project. We'd have to go back out to the community for that kind of money. Mm-hmm. But that could be done.
Thank you.
Cooling for the fall. Look, it's getting warmer, and as you know, our temperatures in the fall. So, in the gyms, in those buildings that do not have air conditioning right now, is there a plan that we can do for cooling somehow? Is there an exhaust system that can be used with the HVAC? Something to pull hot air out of those un-air-conditioned rooms?
Well, the way schools are designed, we actually have to pull air in from the outside. So we're always, while we're venting out, we're always pulling back in. So, you know, where fresh air is always going through the gym, that doesn't necessarily mean since you're in a brick structure that the heat's going to go out. It's a big area with a really high ceiling. And the heat stays in there. So it's part of the design. The way they operate it is the custodial staff, when the building's empty, they close the doors to the gym and try and vent everything out. And then they open the windows during the night to try and get the cool air in. But as soon as those doors swing open in the morning, all that heat from the outside is coming, and the humidity is coming right back in. So it's a constant battle. And with, you know, each pupil, each person, we're all putting out the equivalent heat of an original, not an LED, 100-watt light bulb. We all put out a lot of heat. So there's no change in operation other than what we already have to keep it at that, you know, it's, you know.
So we can come back to the board with the
with today's pricing on doing those two gyms.
Okay. See what it is.
And see what it is.
Great. Thank you. Other questions? I just had a question. The rooms that you showed us where either the windows were too high, I think there were a couple of rooms like that, Nolbeth Page and maybe Stratford Road, I'm not sure. I don't know that we can do something like this, but sometimes people have those ductless air conditionings.
That's what we would be doing.
Right, like in here.
The other, it's two issues. And obviously the strategy all along, long before the present administration was here, I know the district has been proactive, but the philosophy has been go after the low-hanging fruit first. And what we have remaining are the hardest pieces. So it's not just the windows, but it's the amount of power that we need to get there to cool the space. None of these things are running on a typical plug. Mm-hmm. They're all pulling at least 220, so it's pretty heavy duty. Our buildings weren't designed for that.
Right.
You know, they were all built in the 50s, and people weren't thinking about air conditioning in schools. So we're left with the places where we have to figure out, you know, how do we pull in another circuit breaker panel that has enough power to put in enough breakers to run the AC, and we're getting there. But you're seeing the rest, the most challenging places right now.
Right, right.
So those places were the former locker room in Old Bethpage, and then the music rehearsal rooms here in POB Middle School.
Right, POB.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We've made tremendous progress, and we're almost at the finish line.
Okay, we're hoping for a cool fall, just like we had a cool spring. Oh. I was saying in the spring, and I'm probably jinxing myself, but we got through the spring. We didn't have any air conditioning complaints in the spring because it was cool. So
now that you've
hopefully
said
have
it.
A cool fall.
Thank you. And thank everybody from Buildings and Grounds, et cetera. Next is our construction update.
I have another presentation.
You do.
All right. So we tried to fill this one with pictures. Some of these pictures, especially if you drive by Old Bethpage, are not up to date. So this is just a brief update on the capital work we're doing. It says bond and capital. And I think most of the time we assume it's being done by contractors. I'll take a few moments to point out work that's being done in-house by our staff as well. From June through December of this year, we'll complete about $17 million worth of construction work. And with the bond, we're through almost 90% of the total funding. Most of the work still to be completed is over at Stratford Road, and that work is underway. We're working in all of our schools this summer, and a good part of it will continue during the school year. Probably the most intrusive work, which will actually move very quickly, will be the high school windows, which are going to start going into place the third week of August. We'll start with the high school. A lot going on there. We have masonry projects. Window replacement project is actually underway. You can't quite see the work, but the windows are there on site. There's work going on inside. The company had painted outside the building before the windows came in. Boiler replacement is almost done. We have two boilers that we placed there. Office renovations, new library carpet. These are some pictures of the social studies room. This was taken 2 weeks ago. All the furniture, all the ceiling tiles and everything like that have moved back in, but this was basically a complete gut, new floor, new ceiling, new lighting, shelving units, and new furniture. That room really hadn't been touched since the 1950s, except for some lighting updates along the way. In order to give the building a uniform look, panels were painted blue. And then where windows are going to be replaced, like these are windows right here that are going to be replaced, the identical blue is going to be in the panels. Right now, if you go by here, these are painted blue back in the day. It was done rather sloppily. It's pretty messy. We expect to have a nice, sleek look and a uniform look to our high school. Also, one thing to note, since we were talking about security, all the glass on the first floor that's coming in is hardened, as was discussed last year. Okay, so those things are going into place as we speak. Here's a picture of a boiler. It's a little bit further along. We just thought we'd take this picture so you can see similar boilers in other presentations, other parts of the presentation, to see how that work goes along. Middle school projects. POB Middle School, renovations of room 109 and 110. We talked about that briefly. The Z-Space room is built out. Modifications have been made to the main office, where they now will be using a former workroom that had photocopiers in it as a conference room. Air conditioning has been put in there. People have been moved into their new offices there. We have abated the prep rooms on the second floor, and we have ordered the casework to go in there into those rooms. And we're renovating room 204 and 206. One is a fax room, which we'll continue to use the fax room, but it was last touched in the 1950s. And also the former faculty room is now a full-size classroom. So some pictures. Things look very different. These are in the tech rooms. This would be room 109. This is the new room 110. Looks very different. Now in that all the sheetrock is up, the ceiling's up, the lighting's in, the doors are going in this week, the floors are being laid, so they've been painted, so we're almost done in these two rooms. This is also taken 2 weeks ago. This is where Z-Space is going. This has been painted, the ceiling's in, lighting is in, electrical work has been done. New flooring is going in this week, and after that, we'll be moving the Z-Space computers into this room. This is a shot of the prep rooms. I know the board members had taken a walk through those last year. Those look much different now. We don't expect the casework to be in. Casework are the new cabinets to be in for the beginning of the year. However, their materials are on carts. When the casework comes in, it'll be rolled out. The casework will go in over a weekend, but a much fresher look to go with the renovated classrooms from last year. Going down to the 100 level, the faculty room is now located on down next to buildings and grounds. Here's work that is being done by our staff. We are renovating the fax room. For those of you who don't know what fax is, think Home and Careers. And I was there last Friday. This picture was the newest one in the presentation. They were putting in the cabinetry, so they're pretty far along there. Once the cabinets are in, it'll be repainted. The floor's already in. The ceiling grid is in. They're just waiting on the tile until they get everything all together. New playground is in place at POB Middle School, also behind the gym. Matlin, we have masonry going on. The wheelchair lift project will be completed this Wednesday, so they are operational, and the contractors will be done with all their finished work on Wednesday, and we're in the process of renovating the locker rooms. So the lockers are not in the locker rooms yet, but the flooring has been taken care of. The lockers will be installed next week, and we'll be finishing that up. The wheelchair lifts are in place. And as you know, we had to take out the birch trees over next to Sea House. The roots were growing into the building and also were pulling apart the stairway. This stairway is going to be rebuilt. Then we'll do replanting as well. There's additional masonry going on behind the building, in the loading dock, and up on the chimney. Judy Jacobs, roofing and skylight replacement, interior exterior masonry, and a new PA is going in building-wide. So there's your new roof. Yes, Mr. Wolfner, all of the water's pitched towards the drains. In some places, like over here, we replaced all our staff replaced all of the ceiling vent motors on Parkway and Pasadena as the roof went in. They were essentially original units, so those are now in place, updated, and running. We had previously done that at Matlin, POB Middle School, and the high school, so we're moving through the district and installing new roof fans. Old Bethpage, the big project of the summer is the classroom addition and boiler replacement. This project now, this was taken on a day when the steel was going up top. The building is completely enclosed. It's roofed. The exterior brick is almost done. The windows and doors are being delivered this week. They'll be installed when they're ready. So if you remember, before this project started, we were worried that that would be the last thing to show up. So the windows will not be holding this project up. So they won't be ready for the first day of school, but they should be to us for use in September. Paving is starting. There was a whole lot of grading going on there. All of the curbs and sidewalks are poured last week, and after some days of curing, they'll be paving the parking lot. So as people start arriving next week, they'll have a way to comfortably get in and out of the parking lot. Just some more work. It looks much different if you go by today. We tried to take the shot to show that once all the brick is up here, there'll actually be a natural flow that it ties into the other side of the building. For a while, we were like, what did we get ourselves into? And once they got up here and the red brick started going up, it started making a lot of sense to us. So we'll have a nice uniform look, and the brick match is incredible. Here, the boiler was taken out, and then they built a new boiler in place. So there's a new old Bethpage boiler. It still has to be painted, but the burner is now on, and once the electrical work is done, it will be operational probably before school begins. Similar work going on at Pasadena. New flooring installed in the middle, the music room, new ceiling. We put in new vent fans, new roof. New vent fans are in place. Stratford. Ceiling and lighting replacement. All the ceiling grid is in. We're starting to get ceiling tile. All the electrical work is done, and the lighting fixtures are going in. So the timeline is going well there. We had new boiler put in at Stratford and new burner put in on the older boiler. So we're running at higher efficiency at Stratford. I know that was a lot of information, but there's a lot going on. You have any questions?
Questions? Well, thank you very much. Certainly there is a lot going on, and we look forward to seeing it on our walkthrough. Enrollment update.
Not rich.
Right.
not this time. Just put that down there. I could. You don't need to take them.
So I'm just providing for you an enrollment update as of 12 o'clock today. So you can see the current enrollment for each of the buildings by grade level. And on page one is the entire district, to which you'll see that we have currently enrolled for the 19-20 school year 1,772 elementary students in the four elementary schools, K-4. We have for this school year 1,610 middle school students, 865 at POB Middle School, and 745 at Matlin. And the high school's enrollment currently right now for this year is 1,557, for a total district enrollment for the 1920 school year of 4,939. You'll notice on page 2, it breaks out to give average class size by grades for the four elementary schools, K through 4. There are no classes, average class sizes, that will exceed the board guidelines or come close to the board guidelines on the high end. You will notice there are a half a dozen classes that are highlighted that border the board's guidelines on the low end of class size in three of the four buildings. But most of them are all coming in around 2021 as an average, which is nice to see, and consistent with what we've been trying to do from year to year, where we go. I do remind you it is the 12th of August, and we do tend to get a little bit of a push towards the end of the month, so we continue to monitor these. We have from last Wednesday when I ran a report to today, we ended up with 6 more kids in basically two days. So as we go through the next couple of weeks, we continue to monitor to see where we're at. But as of right now, we believe we're in good shape for class size across the board, K-12.
Were those kids from a specific or across the board?
Across the board. There was no one area that they came into.
That's good.
Other questions? I just have a question. I'm a little concerned with a couple of the classes, the fourth grade classes, and I'm particularly concerned after what happened last year, because we began the year at a certain number, and then in Pasadena we saw the classes get much larger. So Pasadena's number's great. I think they're going to be good in the fourth grade, but the other three buildings are higher, particularly Old Bethpage and JJP. So, true.
Yeah.
But so make me feel better that we're going to be okay in light of how the pop. You know, it used to be people moved in for the most part by now. But what we found last year is people are moving in throughout the year. So, you know, for 25 or 26 could turn into, you know.
Well, we are looking at our enrollment patterns. We know the areas that, which is one of the reasons we're keeping the Pasadena numbers.
And I appreciate
where they are, right. Which is one of them really should be reduced. But we're,
right.
But we know that this time we generally, we have more students moving in. JJP and Old Bethpage patterns are not the same patterns as
okay.
Pasadena's. So the numbers that you're seeing, in order for us to violate the guidelines, requires having 28 in each classroom, which would mean 9 more students at Old Bethpage.
Well, I know what the guidelines
not likely,
are, but
however,
not
so,
likely.
Okay.
And if that happens, that we see the numbers go to a 27, we would definitely break the classes
prior to school beginning.
Prior to school, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But the other side of it is,
yes.
No, do we follow the guidelines on the other end? Because if you look at Pasadena, they're below the guidelines.
Correct.
My instincts say we keep Pasadena with that section because that's where our numbers come from.
Came from last year.
That's
right.
Been the pattern, though.
Okay.
It's not just last year. It's
okay.
Been Pasadena's tends to have more enrollees at the last.
Right.
There are more rental properties there than there are. And if you're renting property, you generally do it at the first of the month.
Right.
And that's where we saw it last year, on the first of the month. Now, last year, school opened late.
Mm-hmm.
September 7th.
Right.
So September 1, people waited until September 1. This year, school opens earlier, you know, Memorial Day.
Right.
Not
Labor Day.
Labor Day is earlier.
So she's going backwards.
I know. So August 31st is a Saturday.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
We're watching it. We have been watching it all summer. And I know I've heard from my fourth grade folks at Old Beth Page. But at this point, given the board guidelines, given what we have done in the past, given the patterns at Old Beth Page, I don't recommend us adding a section.
Okay, but if in the next couple of weeks
of course
we begin to creep up, mm-hmm. we will revisit that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Our ICT classes are included?
Yeah, everybody's
okay,
included.
Everybody's
in it. And
the high number.
You know, and we've checked on, well, our guidelines are 28.
Oh, I know the guidelines. It doesn't mean that. That's why we make sure that we have enough breakage.
Talk to Pasadena and Stratford Road, who for the last 3-4 years have had 28.
Okay.
Okay?
As long as they have breakage.
They've had 28.
Right.
Now, that's why I'm starting out. Now that we've seen the patterns with Pasadena, we're starting here.
And I feel much better about
Pasadena. So I feel good about
doing that. Yes.
But I
just
trust that we will monitor and adjust.
I do trust that. I do. Okay.
But we're in good shape. Really are.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking, if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted to the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open.
Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive. One thing that I've noticed in past board meetings, the reference to the Judy Jacobs Parkway School has been abbreviated to JJP. Mr. Cunningham, in his presentation, called it the Judy Jacobs School. And I know the board wanted to honor the memory of Judy mm-hmm. Jacobs, and I think the solution to the problem of calling it JJP is for the board to rename it as the Judy Jacobs School and drop the word Parkway. I trust that
Thank you for your suggestion.
Thank you.
Meredith Lewin. I live at 136 Orchard Street in Plainview. I left the last meeting expecting you to sell the Fern Place School. So my only questions are, just how ironclad are those restricted covenants, and are you able to get us that planting buffer?
Barbara, do you want to answer the legal questions?
So that the buffer is being discussed. There's no final contract yet. We're reviewing it. In terms of the restrictive covenants, we believe they're as ironclad as they can be in a legal document.
Okay.
But again, the final contract has not been finally negotiated. So we're still looking at language.
I understood. So when it is finalized, will we be able to see that?
Once it's finalized, it's public. It would be when it's finalized.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yes,
it's being negotiated.
It's being negotiated
and discussed.
Hi, my name is Lana Rosenthal. I live on 138 Orchard Street. I was not being enabled. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to state that I would like to remind you that under Unlike the private correspondence that you've sent to the board and to Central, you're speaking now in a public forum, so I would just ask that you not mention anybody by name.
Oh, okay, sure. Absolutely.
And rather, we ask that you make your presentation more generic.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I was not able to be of attendance during the July 2nd, so I did watch the community forum via satellite. As I sat in Florida on July 2nd, watching the community forum via satellite, I wondered how our community lost power as residents who are taxpayers, allowing the ACDS school to join our community, and all we have is complete aggravation. It is at a point where there are so many people who are angry, frustrated, outraged, and feel defeated and intimidated by this board. We have been fighting for years to get our community back after this organization has destroyed safety, traffic, has caused environmentally unsafe conditions, and has destroyed our way of life living on the street. We are outraged that the board would allow the organization to purchase this property. This summer, I've watched both Pasadena and Olbeth Page Grade School being expanded to an extent where it has been taken away the beauty and charm of what these schools represented in the past. These schools are now eyesores in our community, and for what? It is stated during the meeting our population is not increasing, yet why are we expanding 3 out of 4 elementary schools and selling a school that we could have used for our children if need be? It was also stated that the Jamaica Avenue School could have been considered as a school to sell because you want to keep this building if we need it for our children, yet this building has been leased for just as long as Fern Place. You stated that it will cost more money to keep this building, yet the more millions of dollars that our district are not meeting the needs are being spent to expand these buildings are unacceptable. These decisions that have been made in this district are not meeting the needs of this community or looking out for what is best for our children. Clearly, making decisions based on what you want, not what is best for our community. In addition to watching this via satellite, I did speak to State Assembly Charles Levine. In one of our conversations, he stated that when you have these nonprofit organizations within a school district that does not house our children, they tend to not respect the community and feel empowered to behave how they please. This is how many of us feel every day because this is what we face because of the lack of respect and consideration this organization has created and follows for all the years that they have joined our community. Just a few weeks ago, there was an accident on our street. A person flying down Orchard and then going into the Fern Place School flew around the bend into the parking lot without stopping, flew back around to exit the Fern Place School, and knocked down the stop sign. My children were in the driveway getting into my car to leave. The person was traveling at a very high speed and could have easily hit my children as located just across the stop sign. We can continue expressing our frustrations, having meetings with you, and any representations from the ACDS school. Yet the traffic and safety will never change or get better. It will continue to worsen as Mr. Splith has plans to expand the building in the future. Thank you.
What? Anybody else? Okay, seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. We appreciate and continue to value your input. Can I get a motion for routine business? Seth? Second, Ginger. Any hold separation discussion? All those in favor? Can I have a motion to approve the Board of Ed meetings for the 2019-20? It's a revision to start time. Ginger, second. Susan, holds or separations? Discussion. All those in favor? Can I get a motion to approve the APPR implementation certification form? Jody, second. Seth? whole separation. Discussion? All those in favor? Can I have a motion for the resolution to authorize the transfer of up to 1,200,000 plus interest from the unemployment insurance reserve to the 2017 capital reserve? Ginger, second. Seth, questions? All those in favor? Can I have a motion on the transportation appeal? Seth, second. Ginger, all those in favor? Can I have a motion for permission to circulate policy and regulation student health services? Seth, second. Susan, all those in favor? Can I have a resolution to approve the sale of Fern Place? Seth? Well, it's to approve the resolution. What is it?
I believe the resolution indicates you're desirous of selling it pending and
right,
subject to.
Right, we're not approving the sale. We're approving a desire to sell.
Pending and subject to a contract agreement approved by the Board of Education.
Okay. Seth, Susan, second. Discussion? All those in favor? Can I have a motion to approve the code of...
So can we, just because the question may come up so that okay. The audience understands that this is not approval of a contract, but a desire for the board to enter into a contract.
Subject to their consideration.
All about conditions
right.
That we've... Okay.
Correct. So this begins the process.
Yes.
Thank you. Was I up to code of conduct? A motion to approve the code of conduct with no changes. Ginger, second. Jody, all those in favor? Can I have a motion for the resolution for the settlement concerning student identified and confidential Schedule A? Jody, second. Susan, all those in favor? Can I have a motion for the resolution for settlement concerning student identified and confidential Schedule B? Ginger, second. Tara, all those in favor? Can I have a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of for the purpose of discussing collective bargaining negotiations? Seth, second. Tara, all those in favor? Thank you. Thank you for attending. Drive home safely and enjoy the rest of your summer.